Gusev, 1890.
It is already dark. Soon it will be night. Gusev, a discharged soldier, sits up in his bunk and speaks to the man in the next berth.
Pavel Ivanich, a soldier in Sichuan once told me that when they were at sea, their ship ran into a giant fish, and the fish punched a hole clear through the bottom of the ship. Do you hear it, Pavel Ivanich? The wind has broken loose from its chain.
1 minute, a ship runs into a fish. Mm-hmm. The next, the wind breaks loose from its chain.
Yes.
Is the wind an animal, then, that it can break loose from its chain?
That's what Christian people say.
Then they're as ignorant as you are. They say all sorts of things. You have to keep a head on your shoulders and think things through. You're not making sense. Oh, if we just stop rolling.
I understand, Pavel Ivanich. Whenever the seas are rough, you get all out of sorts. But there's nothing so strange about a giant fish or about the wind breaking loose from its chain. Suppose that fish were as big as a mountain, with a back as hard as a sturgeon. And suppose that far away at the end of the world stand great stone walls and the fierce winds were chained up to them. And if they haven't broken loose, then why do they rush all over the sea like unleashed dogs? And if they're not chained up, then where are they when the weather's calm? Are there winds blowing at home, I wonder? Home. It's home again. Yes. Cold weather. And is the pond frozen, covered with snow? The factory's going strong, black smoke pouring from the chimney. And there's the village across the pond. Look, someone's coming in a sleigh. It's Alexei, my brother Alexei. Alexei! Alexei! Oh, can't hear me, too far away. But there's Vanka sitting next to him, and there's little Akuka, too. Vanka's laughing at something, and Akuka's all bundled up. Alexei's been drinking again. The children will catch frostbite if he doesn't watch out. Oh, Lord, send them the sense to honor their parents and not to be any wiser than their mother or father.
We need new souls. New souls. Yes.
What's that? Newborn souls? Alexei! It disappeared. Yet, thanks be to God, we saw each other one more time.
A blue circle is the first thing to be seen in the darkness, the porthole. Then, little by little, Gusev makes out the man in the next bunk, Pavel Ivanich. The man sleeps sitting up. He cannot breathe lying down. Seeing that Gusev is looking at him, Pavel Ivanich turns toward him.
I begin to see. Yes, I understand it all perfectly now.
Understand what, Pavel?
It always seems strange to me that, ill as you and these others are, you should be put on a filthy, stifling steamer where everything threatens you with death. But now it's all clear to me. Yes. The doctors put you here to get rid of you. They got tired of you. You're too poor to squeeze any money out of, and you spoil their statistics by dying. You're just cattle to them. Sick cattle.
I don't understand, Pavel Ivanich.
I'll try to explain. Let's say I'm the doctor, and I want to get rid of you. All that's required is first to have no conscience. Easy enough. We're all virtuosos in that department. And second, to deceive the authorities. not particularly difficult either. 5 sick men don't stand out in a crowd of 400 healthy soldiers and sailors, so nobody notices until the ship's well underway, and only then, when it's too late, do they discover they've got paralytics and consumptives sprawled about the decks.
I only laid down on the deck because I was too sick to stand. I'd caught a bad chill when they were loading us off.
It's disgusting. I know perfectly well you won't survive the long journey home, and yet they put you here. Suppose you last as far as the Indian Ocean. Then what? It's too horrible to think about. And that's their gratitude for your faithful service. The newspapers should expose them. They should make the fur fly. What were you in the army, Gusev? An orderly?
Yes, sir.
My God. To tear a man away from his home, drag him 10,000 miles, then wear him out till he gets consumption. And for what? To turn him into an orderly for some Captain Kopienkin, for some midshipman Durka.
It's not hard work, Pavel Ivanich. You get up in the morning and polish the boots, start the samovar, tidy up the rooms a bit, and that's it. The lieutenant drafts plans all day long. And if you like, you can say your prayers or read a book or go for a walk. Oh, God grant everyone such a life.
Oh, yes, very good. The lieutenant drafts plans all day while you sit in the kitchen and long for home. Plans? What are plans compared to a human life? You've only one life, Gusev, and it mustn't be ruined, not even by plans.
Of course, Pavel Ivanich, no one gives a bad man a break, either at home or in the service. But if you live a good life and obey orders, who would want to ruin you?
You poor fool. You don't understand anything.
Maybe I don't. Not educated like Pavel Ivanich seems to be. Doesn't matter. I'll close my eyes and see home again. There. There it is. I'm in the sleigh.
Akuka, you silly girl, put your feet down.
But look at my boots, Uncle.
What about them?
They're brand new, see? Not like Vanka's.
Oh. Almost 6 and still she has no sense. Instead of showing off your boots, you'd do better to fetch your soldier uncle a drink of water. You a present, Akuka? I'm thirsty, so thirsty. A drink of water.
Your bed, Stepan.
My bed?
Come on, don't take all day.
There. The queen of...
Blind brother, that's the queen of hearts.
Is it? I can't tell.
Watch it, you dropped your hearts. Are you all right?
It's nothing, fellas. I just need to lie down. Just for a minute here.
Not on the floor. It's filthy. Stepan! What's the matter with him?
I don't know.
Stepan, you want us to call the priest? Maybe you need some water.
Yeah.
Here, Stepan. Have a drink.
Drink up, Stepan.
What are you banging his teeth with that cup? Don't you see, you fool?
See what?
See what? He's dead, that's what. Lord, God, those stupid people.
Hours pass. Gusev sleeps. When he wakes, he sees Pavel Ivanich. The porthole is open. A gentle breeze blows through it. The ship has stopped rolling.
We're in harbor, my friend.
Huh?
In harbor. Another month or so, and we'll be in Russia. Yes. Messieurs of the armed forces. I'll arrive in Odessa and from there go straight to Kharkov, where I have a friend who's a man of letters. Come, Father Walse, put away your vile subjects, your lovely ladies, and the beauties of nature. I've a better subject for your pen. Expose the two-legged vermin. Kuzef, do you know how I tricked them?
Tricked who, Pavel Ivanovich?
These people I'm talking about. You see, on the steamer, there's just first class and third class. If you look like a gentleman, you have to go first class. You've got to fork out 500 rubles if it kills you. Why do you have such a rule, I asked them, trying to raise the prestige of the Russian intelligentsia? No, they said. A decent person can't go third. It's too nasty and disgusting. Well, I said, thank you for being so solicitous about decent people's welfare. But whether it's nasty or not, I haven't got 500 rubles. I didn't loot the treasury. I didn't exploit minorities. I didn't deal in contraband. I didn't flog anyone to death. So what right have I to travel first class? But logic meant nothing to them. So I had to resort to fraud. I put on a peasant's coat and high boots and made out that I was drunk. It was a ticket, Your Honor.
Are you really one of the gentry?
I come from a clerical family. My father was a priest and an honest one. He always told the high and mighty the truth right to their faces. And he suffered for it. It's the same with me. I'm not afraid of anyone or anything. That's the difference between me and the rest of you. You're all blind. You're crushed down. You see nothing, and what you do see, you don't understand. They tell you the wind breaks loose from its chain. You believe it. They tell you you're beasts, savages. You believe it. I'm different. My mind is clear. Like an eagle, I see everything, and I understand everything. I'm protest personified. I see tyranny. I protest. I see a hypocrite. I protest. I see swine triumphant. I protest, and I cannot be put down. Cut off my tongue. I'll protest with my fists. Wall me up in a cellar. I'll shout so loud they'll hear me a mile away. All they can do is kill me. And even then, I'll haunt them forever. But I'm proud of my reputation. 3 years in the Far East, and I'll be remembered there for 100. My friends wrote to me from Russia, don't come back. But I am going back just to spite them. Yes. That's life as I understand it. That's what one calls life.
Gusev is not listening. He's looking through the porthole. In the dazzling sunshine, a Chinese junk is swaying on the turquoise water. Naked men are standing in the junk, holding up cages with canaries in them, and calling out, "Sings! Sings!" 2 days pass. The ship is on the move again. Pavel Ivanich is now lying down instead of sitting up. His eyes are closed. His nose seems to have grown sharper.
Pavel Ivanich. Pavel Ivanich. Feeling bad?
No. There's nothing. Nothing. On the contrary. I'm better. You see? I can lie down now. I've improved.
Well, thank God for that.
I'm in better shape than the rest of you. Poor fellows. My lungs are healthy. All I've got is a stomach cough. I can stand hell itself, let alone the Red Sea. And my mind is clear. I take a critical attitude toward my illness. While you, your mind's dark. It's hard on you. Very, very. blood.
Oh, it's too hot to think. Much less listen. It's like a steam bath in here. Think of home. Of snow and ice and cold. The sleigh again. Ah, the sleigh. The horses racing along faster and faster, straight through the village, across the frozen pond, over the open fields.
Hold them!
No, let them run free. As fast as they want. Let the keen cold wind lash your face, bite your hands. Faster! The horses kick up a spray of snow. Let it slide down your collar, your chest. Let the runners sing, let the traces break. And what joy when the sleigh turns over at full speed and you go flying through the air, head first into a snowbank, and you get up covered in white.
Gusev, your commanding officer, did he steal?
Who can tell, Pavel Ivanich? We don't know. We never hear about it.
Kingdom of heaven be his, and eternal peace. He was a restless man.
Amen.
What?
Who? He's dead. They just carried him up.
Oh, well, the kingdom of heaven be his.
What do you think, Gusev? Will he go to heaven or not?
Who?
Pavel Ivanich.
He will. Huh. He suffered so long. Besides, his father was a priest, and priests have lots of relatives. Their prayers will get him there.
You're not long for this world either, Gusev. You'll never see Russia.
Is that what the doctor said?
No, you didn't have to. It's plain as day. You don't eat. You don't drink. You've gotten so thin, you look terrible. I'm not saying this to worry you. It's only because you might want to receive the sacrament and last rites. And if you have any money, you should give it to a senior officer.
I haven't written home. Die and they won't know.
They'll know. When you die, they write it down the ship's log. When we reach Odessa, they send a copy of the entry to the army authorities, and they'll notify your district board or somebody like that.
Stifling it here. I'd like to go on deck. Take me up there, brother, for Christ's sake.
All right. Since you can't walk, I'll carry you. Here, put your arm around my neck.
The soldier picks up Gusev and carries him up the stairs. On deck, it's dark. There are no lamps on the masts or on the sea around them. Discharged soldiers and sailors are lying asleep side by side. So many of them, it's difficult to make one's way.
I'll let you down now. Be easy. There. Now, follow me. Hold on to my shirt.
Where are we going?
To the prow. You can see better there. Here we are. Hold tight to the railing. You got it? Pretty soon they'll throw Pavel Ivanich into the sea.
Yes.
It's better to rest in the earth at home. At least then your mother can come and cry over your grave.
Where are we now?
I don't know. Somewhere on the ocean.
I don't see land.
Oh, not a chance. Well, they say we won't see it for another week.
It's not fright. The sea, just give you the creeps, though. As if you were alone in a dark forest. But if they lowered a boat this instant, and an officer ordered me to go 50 miles across the sea to catch a fish, I'd go.
Really?
For her. Or let's say if a Christian fell overboard right now, I'd jump in after him.
Well, what if he were a German?
Huh?
Or a Chinaman?
No. But I go after a Christian.
Are you afraid of dying?
Yes. And I'm sorry about the farm. My brother isn't steady. He drinks. He beats his wife for no reason. He doesn't honor his parents. Without me, everything will go to rack and ruin. My father and mother will end up begging in the streets. My legs won't hold me up anymore. Let's go back down. I want to sleep.
Gusev is taken back down to the infirmary and placed into his bunk. He is tormented by vague desires, and he can't figure out what he wants. There's a weight on his chest, a throbbing in his head, and his mouth is so dry that he can't move his tongue. He dozes and talks in his sleep, until at last, worn out by nightmares, by coughing, and by the stifling heat, he falls into a deep sleep. He dreams that they have just taken the bread out of the barracks oven, and that he has climbed inside and is taking a steam bath there, lashing himself with a bundle of birch twigs. He sleeps for 2 days. On the third day at noon, 2 sailors come down and carry him out of the infirmary. They sew him up in sailcloth, and to make him heavier, they put 2 iron bars in with him. Sewn up, Gusev looks like a carrot or a radish, broad at the head, narrow at the feet. Before sunset, they carry him out on deck and put him on a wooden plank balanced on the ship's rail. Round him stand the discharged soldiers and the crew with heads bared.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
After the priest sprinkles earth over Gusev, and the men sing Memory Eternal, the sailor on watch duty raises one end of the plank. Slowly, Gusev slides off it, turns end over end in the air, and then vanishes beneath the waves. Foam covers him, and for an instant, he seems to be wrapped in lace. But then he disappears into the waves. He plunges downward. Will he reach bottom? It's nearly 3 miles deep. After sinking some 70 feet, he begins to descend more and more slowly, swaying rhythmically as if in hesitation. Now the current carries him along, more sideways than downwards. He meets a school of pilot fish. Seeing the dark body, the little fish stop as if petrified, then dart away and disappear, but the next moment they rush back and begin zigzagging around him in the water. Then a shark appears. Dignified, reluctant, it glides under Gusev, seeming almost not to notice him. Then it turns, belly upward, basking in the warm, transparent water, and slowly opens its jaws. The pilot fish are ecstatic. They watch to see what happens next. The shark rips the sailcloth from one end to the other. One iron bar falls out, hits the shark on the flank, scares away the pilot fish, and sinks quickly to the bottom. All the while, in the sky above, where the sun is about to set, clouds are massing. One resembles a triumphal arch, another a lion, a third a pair of scissors. A broad shaft of green light breaks through the clouds. then a violet ray, then one of gold, then pink. The sky turns a soft lilac. Gazing at this sky, so glorious, so magical, the ocean scowls at first, but soon it too takes on tender, joyous, passionate colors, for which it is hard to find a name in human speech.
This program is a co-production of the Globe Radio Repertory and KUOW-FM, Seattle's national public radio station. Tom Spiller played the part of Gusev, and Bill Trakhyle was Pavel Ivanich. The soldier was played by David Mong, the sailor by Arvars Mikkelsen, and Akulka, Ariana Corrado. The narrator was Frank Corrado. 16 Stories by Anton Chekhov was adapted for radio by John Sisko and Gene Sherard and directed by Gene Sherard. The music director was Ken Benchoof, sound design by Jim Wilson, audio engineer Sonny Feller, series scholar Simon Karlinski. This program was digitally recorded in conjunction with Lawson Productions at Bad Animals, Seattle.